If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar topic is how to seek, find, and realize truth. And primarily, how to do that so you don't get further entrapped here on this planet. So the truth that we're speaking of is not relative truth, such as, quote, your truth, my truth, their truth, but the one divine truth that can never change or be modified. In other words, Satyam. So we're going to be looking at that tonight, and as usual, let's begin with a little integration. Take a deep breath and allow that beautiful, beautiful divine light, which is appearing as a purple, intense violet flame. Just allow it to wash over you, down through you, and to transmute and clear any energy that is not for your highest good. Everything goes that's not part of our highest walk of truth. And we ask that whatever could be quickened and activated in our awareness tonight, that could be done through grace. That we can have, when we complete this evening, a greater arena of inner clarity that settles deep within our knowing about who and what we truly are. And we just give thanks for that. Doing some serious clearing on throat chakra, so I hope mine will stay open for you. The fifth chakra is the truth chakra. And when you have trouble with your throat chakra, for example, sore throats, tonsillitis, swollen glands, anything that is a weirdness that's going on with your throat usually is indicative of clearing karma in the causal realm, which contains the seed of karmic. Let's say unfinished business. In fact, I know of several people that when they're doing transmutative work, the throat will break out in a rash. In fact, mine does that sometimes. I'll have this huge bloody red rash all over my throat and upper chest, and it's transmuting. You know, Shiva in the Hindu pantheon of gods is the one that transmutes the evils of the world, and he's called Nilakanta, and what that means is the blue-throated one, because he holds all the poison of the world in his throat chakra and transmutes it. So just be aware that we're speaking of truth, and the vehicle through which we express truth in our physical form is our speech, our voice. So that is the first area that needs to be brought into complete impeccable alignment so that the inner knowing and the outer speaking are one and the same, and you don't misrepresent the truth that you know by what you say and express verbally. So the highest truth, bottom line, is simply God alone is all that is. And everything else is a passing illusion. That doesn't mean it's not important. It just means that to function within it without getting caught in it, you need to constantly be aware that God or Atma, Spirit, is the only eternal truth and reality. Regardless of the many, many appearances and scenarios that our movement through time and space has enabled us to experience, the movement through time and space is also an illusion. But even though it is an illusion, just like sometimes you take a thorn to remove a thorn, you can use the human embodiment as a tool of awareness, as a thorn that removes the embedded illusion that keeps us entrapped. So use your human vehicle and your experience here in a way that you can be the living free, the Jivan Mukta, and you don't keep generating successive cycles of entrapment in human form, being born again and again on Earth or some similar third-dimensional planet. That's the whole idea, is to be in the world and free spiritually and as you move through your life without gathering more karmic indebtedness. So absolute unchanging truth is what you are as a divine spirit when all illusion and conditioning vanish. Many journeys, within the dimensions of time and space have caused layers of conditioning to cover and mute our original pure awareness. It gets clouded over. So we are divine truth. And that divine truth becomes, through immersion in time, space, and human scenarios, identified with the illusion and fallen asleep to its reality. And it is caught up in the dreams of human existence. So your time to awaken to the truth of your divine identity is now. It's come. This is another one of the calls that Divine Spirit issues forth to you to come out of the dream, the holodeck of human involvement, embroilment, entrapment. So this then is part of that process of how you can return your awareness to your eternal divine identity as truth. So let's begin by asking you, what are you seeking? It is a universal law that you will always find what you're looking for. The challenge is to be clear and intentional as to exactly what you are seeking. To find anything, you must look for it. You must believe you can find it. And you must look in the area where it can be found. So the principle that's the operative here is that we're always finding what we're looking for. In fact, the very desire to look, to really see and to understand, begins to immediately open and indicate the way that you need to go. I like to think of our love as like a searchlight that will ultimately reveal the source of all love and truth, which would be God. So the purpose of these particular seminars that we do each week is to provide the ground crew with working keys and guidelines to spiritual liberation, and moreover, how to maintain that freedom and avoid further entrapment and suffering through taking birth again on Earth or a similar planet. Those of you who have come here on Earth assignment need guidance on how not to become locked into human identification and thought patterns. Real awareness skills are required to do your missions here without getting caught up in the illusions and creating more karmic baggage for yourself. You know, when I first came into this mission, I came directly from the Ashtar Command. I personally have never integrated into a third density body on planet Earth in my monadic essence. And I came from a level of Venus that is already living in a golden age of absolute truth and pure divine love. So it was a real shock to experience the density of Earth, which in many ways is almost the exact polar opposite of how we think and live and express on Venus. And Venus, remember, is like the soul or the higher self to Earth. So Earth and Venus are very closely united, and many, many, many of the ground crew have come through what is called the Venus chain of worlds, because they're not just one planet, but there are dimensional versions of each planet, including Venus. And this is where Ashtar and I have come from most recently. And some of you may also have come from non-fallen worlds. And you're suffering from various degrees of shell shock just being here. Now, bear in mind that many of us are like experiments. I know I definitely am. And we're also like viewing lenses into this world through which our brothers and sisters within the fleets can have a vicarious experience looking through our eyes and tuning in to what we go through as we integrate in this most dense possible condensation of light, consciousness, and awareness. There's nothing more dense than the encodements that we have on this carbon-based planet that we call Earth. So this is the deepest layer of compression that light can ever be compacted into. And because of that, in the decompression, we're like the springboard into the highest divine absolute realms. So that's the value of it. It's a very, very good thing when you can have this experience of Earth life, because it is the springboard to the highest states of divine self-realization, God-realization, and mastery. But to share a little experience with you, not long after I had integrated into this physical form, having come back in time to Earth from the future, I had this out-of-body experience. I found myself standing in the center of a large circular room, like a really white, brilliant room, surrounded by beings in gleaming white robes. They were all male. And as I faced each member of this council in turn, each one said to me in a deep, resonant voice, "Athena, remember, you are not human. You are divine." All of them said the same thing to me. And now I say that to each one of you. Remember, beloved, you are not human. You are divine. So you might want to write that down and put it where you'll see it, especially when you wake up in the morning. It will really assist you to be more detached from the human karma dramas and to stay connected to who you truly are. So you are divine, holy, pure, and eternally one with God. That is the absolute truth. There are other things that can be said, but they're not the absolute truth. They're qualified levels, let's say, of reality. But the absolute truth is that you change not. You remain as God created you, in original holiness and peace. Next, notice, if you will, how people on earth, by and large, are seeking something, but they're seeking without when it comes to spiritual things. And they're seeking for that truth that can only be found within. But they want outer proof of God. They want outer proof. For example, that those of us within the star commands are real. They want proof. And you know, the proof will never be given in the outer. That's how truth is protected from the immature and the unprepared. You notice how everything that is most precious is generally kept out of sight. This applies to the precious things of this world, like diamonds, for example, and to the precious things of the spiritual realms in particular. It's been said in the ancient wisdom teachings that God hid within the human heart, because that would be the very last place humans would think to look. Well, you might ask, why in the world would God want to hide in the last place that one would think to look? And it's because only a person who has grown weary of the riches and fleeting pleasures of the outer world that is ready to venture beyond it. Only such a person is ready to discover the inner riches and the lasting joy of divine truth. You know, you can't force a horse to drink water if it's not thirsty. And likewise, you absolutely cannot force an immature soul to show an interest in spiritual inquiry. Each soul awakens only when its cup of worldly experiences, sorrow, and disappointment is full. Think about it. We come to the inner truth when the cup is full of the sorrows and disappointments of seeking without. Now, because you, as members of the ground crew, even though you may in some instances be liberated master souls from higher evolved worlds and civilizations, because you're operating through human vehicles, you need to learn how to function within and through them without allowing them to unnecessarily entangle you in the reality constructs that they function through. For example, the human thinking functions in a particular realm of consciousness. As I said before, the thoughts are not your own. They flow like a river. But each grid, dimensional grid of consciousness, functions with a similar pattern of vibration and perspective. That's how you affinitize experiences by resonating at the level of consciousness that you want to enter and have experience with consciously. Otherwise, it's a closed book to you. It's a closed realm, unless you can match it in vibration. So I've often said that these seminars are for those who are really, really intent upon experiencing and knowing truth. And it is to assist all light workers in not getting entrapped here while they're serving their earth assignments. So how can you tell when you've touched to the truth within yourself? Here's key number one. It's such an important key that probably it would take you all the way to home to the truth if you just applied this one key. So you can tell that you have touched to the truth within yourself when you experience an immediate sense of happiness. Yeah. Every time you touch to truth, you will have an immediate experience of happiness arising from within. So learn to pay attention to that sudden rush of happiness, because you've made contact with something that's worth your attention. And pay attention to what gives rise to happiness before, because that is a movement in awareness toward truth. Big, big key. And by contrast, everything that makes you unhappy, sad, and depressed is not true. That's why it's depressing. It's not true. You're looking at something that's not real. The immediate feedback is a depressing of your energy, just as contact with truth gives an inspiration, an infilling, an enthusing of your energy. Energy and God are one and the same thing. Divine energy is always producing greater energy and greater life. It stirs and quickens and rises up within you. It gives you strength. That's why muscle testing and lie detectors work, because when you say a lie, something that's not consistent with your truth and reality, you immediately become weak. So all strength comes from living from truth, being true to yourself, speaking truth, and operating in the integrity, that's to be integrated, of truth. So, how is that, that things that are depressive and sad are not true? And the human condition, which is primarily made up of people who are unhappy, discontented, complaining, grouching, and depressed, and sad, and frustrated, that's the usual human consciousness, wouldn't you agree? For one thing, it's not true because it's not lasting. These are moods that change like a weather vane. Human thoughts and emotions, by their very nature, are part of the ever-changing landscape of lower consciousness states. Yeah, lower consciousness states. So observe how unhappiness and depression and sadness also arise from within you. They're not really caused by experiences, but your interpretation regarding your experiences. So again, it's what you do inside your mind, your thoughts, your interpretations, that determines whether it's going to be a stepping stone to truth or another layer of drama and that you're hiding your light under. So that lets you know very clearly when you're touching into lower states of consciousness and illusion, or higher states of consciousness and truth. So when you're in a state of illusion, you only need to bring that illusion into the light of truth, and it immediately vanishes. So that's the good news. The minute you look at it from higher awareness and say something like, this is simply an illusion that I'm seeing. I remain as God created me. I am whole and ever one with Source. Nothing can touch me. My thoughts give all the meaning anything has for me. I am affected only by my thoughts. Nothing from without has any power to affect or touch me. When you come from that state of awareness, you walk in a tremendous power of complete, total vulnerability, which is 100% protection and safety. So what is this truth that causes illusion and pain to vanish? Simply this, remembering and knowing that you are divine and forever one with God. And everything else is a temporary illusion. How simple is that? So to cause the illusions to vanish, those things that cause unhappiness, sadness, depression, and pain, you simply look at them in the light of that truth. I am divine, and all else is illusion. In fact, this practice constitutes true meditation. Genuine meditation is shining the light of this inner truth. I am forever divine and one with God upon whatever it is that is less than wholly joyous. We need to be vigilant for joy and happiness and whatever is of the good and the pure and the uplifting and the holy and the true. If we focused only upon that, we would never, ever have a bad day. We would never be unhappy. We would be operating from the truth of the divine Atma, the divine spirit that we are. But nevertheless, that simple remembering, that choice to bring that into your remembrance will shift your mood and mindset immediately. So you are all familiar with the term God is love, but we would add to this a new one. God is joy, and joy is the result of a genuine encounter with the divine. Or to say it in another way, joy is the result of contact with truth. So again, pay attention to whatever gives rise to happiness. That feeling of happiness is a step in the direction of eternal joy. Happiness, true joy, which is the fullness or the maturation of genuine happiness, comes from living in truth, aware of your divinity. Truth is that awareness of divinity. Now, you can observe how the people who are truly happy, which would be people that have some degree of self-realization and soul infusion, they've developed the ability to maintain conscious contact with God through cultivating this awareness. In other words, it just doesn't come and sit in your lap. You have to cultivate it, practice it, like you would, when you're trying to cultivate a garden and keep your roses pruned and fertilized and watered properly and nourished properly. You have to be that vigilant to grow the crop of divine bliss and joy within you. It's constant awareness and attentiveness to practicing and moving with the flows that lift you and inspire you. Dr. Wayne Dyer did a whole wonderful seminar in a book on living an inspired life. Oh, I loved that book. I read it again and again because he just would hit the quintessential key points on how to stay in that self-empowered state of living joy. His recently released film, The Shift, is an excellent, you can get it on Netflix, DVD, called The Shift. And Dr. Wayne Dyer shows you by example of people that he meets at this Asilomar retreat, and what they go through as they go through, each of them in their own way, this major shift out of human into higher consciousness. They're each finding the truth that will give them a life of fulfillment and genuine joy and contentment. And I have watched it now about 3 times, and I'm probably going to order it and watch it again. These are ways that you can nourish and feed yourself and inspire yourself and keep your edge going. You have to really seek in this world to find things that do that, because most of the world and the things that you intake through your ears and your eyes and your experiences every day are all illusory. They're coming from people who are sound asleep, totally ignorant of any higher reality. The things they say are not aligned with truth. The behavior that you see is the ego running amok. And there's no intelligent life form at all in most people. Their lights aren't on yet. So the kindest, most beneficent, beneficial, loving thing you can possibly do is to walk as a happy, really happy, fulfilled, whole, awake and aware, I was going to say human being, divine being in a human instrument. That's the kindest thing you can do. That's the best thing you can do to help this planet lift into a higher state of consciousness. Actually, in truth, that's the only thing you can really do to make a difference in this world, is to be who you are full on, you know, and act out your divine self in amazing ways. That's it. That's about it. All you can do. So as a play on words, just stay in the sun, S-O-N, light, and you'll bask in the warmth of divine joy. So how do you do that? Once again, you pay attention to whatever gives rise to happiness, joy, inspiration, loving. You know, things that lead in the direction of God, that reveal and express your divine nature. So many people claim to be seekers of truth, but if you examine what they're really after, it's not truth at all. They want information about finite things within the illusion. Or they want personal power, personal recognition. They want more energy and attention put into their fictitional self than expending the time to develop their divine expression. And you find them so much in the New Age groups today, where most of the focus is upon who you are from some planet, or who you were in your past lives, or what is the latest gossip on the conspiracy of who did what to whom, when and where, or what the enemy out there is doing to destroy us all, or whatever, whatever. Have all of these illusional spins, which don't mean anything about anything. And when you've gotten all the information and all the answers and then all the chat rooms and read all the psychic channeling and all that stuff, what have you got when you're finished with that? More worry, more concern, more frustration, more anger, because you really can't do anything about that unless you change from within how you see life. And when you're seeing from the vision of inner realization and truth, you will see only that light in the outer world. You will see a world healed and whole. You know, it sometimes makes people angry. It's like, well, how can you say the world's healed and whole when you know, it looks like it's going to hell in a handbasket? Because you're looking from a hellacious state of consciousness, and when you look from hell, you will just see hell and hellions. But when you look from your divinity, you will see a divine world, whole and intact. So again, everything is an inside job. Everything. So finite information about stuff in the gerbil cage that's going on will only give rise to more and more questions. We'll never give you any answers. You only have to study history to see that we move from one dilemma and one problem and one war and one conflict and one disagreement and battle to the next. That's the human polarity there. So obviously you have to transcend to a higher level if you want to step free through grace. Seeking truth intellectually only leads to frustration. And you know what? When you get frustrated in your search for truth long enough, it eventually makes an atheist out of you. Yeah, you know what? Atheists are people, basically, who became frustrated and angry through trying to find evidence to prove God's existence intellectually, and they failed, and they gave up. Because they wanted to seek on their own terms, or rather on the ego's terms, rather than on God's terms. And God will only reveal himself, herself, itself to you through love. That's it. Only love opens the door and the way to God. So atheism is like a tantrum the ego stages when it's thwarted in finding God on its own terms rather than God's terms. God is love, and only love will lead you to God. All the other pathways that we try to find God upon will lead you to one of the lower worlds and to one of the many demigods. There are many, many demigods. Demi means a being that's halfway there. In other words, they're in what's called a second heaven or the mid-world. And it's a realm where there are many creative spirits of various degrees, many god forces and forms. It's where you find the god-goddesses. They have their own little fiefdoms, if you will, their own little groups of beings that follow them, but they're all in the relative realms. They're not in the absolute truth realms of the God realms beyond. They're still in the finite realms of birth and death, because all the worlds in the lower dimensions will at some point be dissolved back into the primordial primordial ooze, and will issue forth in another cycle of creation. They're not free. They're not liberated. They're realms of recycling for the training, teaching, and experiencing of souls, jivis, for the playground of the jivi, which is the extension of consciousness that we call the soul. So that is not where we want to end. We don't want to end up in the phenomenal realms that are just more of the same thing in another world that may not even be as pleasant as planet Earth. You know, planet Earth in the 21st century isn't all that bad. If you want bad, go back to the time of the Spanish Inquisition or the Civil War, or the First World War. My gosh, talk about hell on earth. Or the Second World War. So make this your last time here. You can do it if you realize that of yourself you do nothing. Don't ever do an action thinking that you're the doer. And whatever you do, don't take credit for it, because you'll get the karma for it. Just see yourself as an absolutely empty God tool that God works through to do whatever God wants to do, and you stay out of it. Don't form attachment to what you do. Don't form opinions and judgments about what other people do. You'll lock yourself as securely in this prison of reincarnation as you can imagine. if you do that, you got to act absolutely from the impersonal self. Take no credit. Look for no rewards. Don't expect any recognition. Let your name be silent. And just do your duty. Do your dharma. Do the right action that's appropriate for your age and your stage in life, your background and your temperament. Be true to yourself. In the cycles of reincarnation, beloved, you have played all roles. You've been the most heinous sinner. You have been the most exalted saint. You have been the most crippled and deformed. You have been the most beautiful and glorious. You have been the weakest and most stupid. You have been the most exalted and brilliant. You have played every role. That is what is part of that composite of the uniqueness of your consciousness. So this lifetime is the closing of a major 26,000-year cycle. And where you go from here is either beyond into the God realms, from which you will not have to reincarnate again on this planet. You'll go on into the soul and God realms of eternal truth. Or you'll go back the lunar route of reincarnation. You'll follow that old silver cord right back into the womb of another consciousness to work out more suffering and more pain and more unfinished business. So if you want to finish your business, love everything. Accept everything. To everything that happens, say, this is good for me. Whatever God deals to, whatever life deals out to you, bless it and give thanks to God for it. Everything that happens, thank you, Father. Everything is a sign of God's grace. Everything. Everything is the fastest possible path for you to arrive at the lessons that you have contracted to go through as a soul before you were born here. Everything. Don't second guess yourself when you're in divine consciousness. So God is love, and God, finding God through the path of love, is the only way to return to the highest God realms. As I said before, there are many, many pathways to God. But the way beyond the phenomenal realms is through pure divine love, which is called bhakti. It's that devotional yielding completely, heart, mind, body, and soul, to the Lord in perfect trust and faith. So while the atheist declares God is nowhere, the enlightened person declares God is now here. So just with a simple shifting of where you place that W, it changes the position. So likewise, our shift in perception is so slight, that it's just the slightest choice to bring to your remembrance your wholeness and your holiness, and to choose the loving expression. So again, what are you looking for in your life? Are you looking in the right places to find what it is you're seeking? Or have you found what you were seeking? If what you were seeking was truth, you know, this absolute divine truth or God, then pay attention to what gives rise to that feeling of happiness. And keep walking in the direction of that happiness. And keep finding ways to stir up the experience of happiness within you. Talk about happy things. Use happy language. Watch happy things on television. Hang out with happy people. Find ways to bring humor and lightness and laughter into every day, because when you're laughing, the karma can't settle into your consciousness. If you get all snarky and negative and take yourself too seriously, guess who gets sucked with the karma? So keep lightness and joy and happiness and laughter and mirth around you. And, you know, you hear people say all the time, I just want to be happy. But really speaking, how many happy people do you encounter on a daily basis that are genuinely happy? You know, not because they have the new car or the best clothes or the new house or the great boyfriend or girlfriend, but people who are happy for no reason. You know, the happiest people I found were the poorest. I found really, really happy people in India and really, really happy people in Mexico, in Mexico, you know, the inner part of the country. There were so many simple people. We might call them almost like peasants. But they were genuinely happy. But they all were making very happy choices with their life. They would spend their time in the evening gathering with their family and praying or singing songs. In India at night, the very often people who are devotees will gather as a family and they'll start singing the bhajans, the divine devotional songs to God. And the neighbors will come and they'll all start singing together. And the night air is filled with the names of God. And in the morning, they'll gather together and they'll march all around their village and sing the holy names of God. So you awaken with the names of God and song. You go to sleep at night with the names of God and song. It is so wonderful. The whole atmosphere is surcharged with devotion to God. That's why those people are happy. They have to pray through everything that they need in their life. They have to believe for it. They have to have faith for it. They have to expect God to do something to help them, because by themselves they're pretty helpless. And you know what? God does stuff for them. They put him to the test. And he always comes through when, you know, you don't depend on anyone else. God will never let anyone down who places their full reliance upon him. So if you want to be happy, become a devotee of the Lord. Love God. Jesus said we need to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, and love our fellow man as ourself. But you can't very well love something that you don't have a relationship with. And you can't very well have a relationship with a formless spirit that you can't see. So we start with loving God in a specific form. And you decide the form that makes your heart sing. It could be the form of a master teacher. It could be the form of an avatar from the past. It could be the form of Mother Mary or Jesus. Someone that you can develop an inner relationship with, because God is one. The names and the forms are as many as there are names and forms. Your name and your form is a name and form of the divine. But when you attune to a God-realized saint or master or avatar, they have the ability to extend grace to you. And grace is the vision of God that pours through them upon you and your life and can save you tremendous suffering through making the way easier for you. A great, great saint carries a portion of your burden and enables you to walk with less encumberment So you need a form. When you're in a form, you need to start with a form. Sai Baba says that one of the best forms to use for meditation is a candle flame, because the candle flame, unlike the form of the master, will never die. And no matter how many candles you light off of that candle flame, the candle flame is never diminished. So likewise, God, as many sparks as God proliferates and extends out into all of our individual soul embodiments, God remains whole and full and is not diminished. So pick a name and a form of God and walk with that name on your lips and in your heart. Worship and adore and venerate that name and that form until you get to the point where everywhere you look, you see the God, the one God. You know, Sai Baba materialized a beautiful statue of Krishna during one of the interviews. And he gave it to this devotee, and he said, bite into it, bite off the leg or the foot. And the devotee looked at him and said, yes, yes, eat, eat. And so the devotee bit into the foot of Krishna, and it was made out of rock sugar. And Sai Baba said, you see, God is sweetness from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. God is sweetness. And though the form may change, Krishna, Rama, Jesus, Buddha, the different Divine Mother, the different forms, that which is the same in all of them is the sweetness. And he said, God is the only thing that gives life sweetness. Without God, life is like a cot full of bedbugs. It's a torment and a bother from day to night. But when you add devotion to God, the sweetness of God, and his sweet name and his sweet form, and the devotion you feel in your heart, your whole life and your whole nature will become sweet. So be sweet. Be very sweet. Be kind. Be loving. Find ways that you can bless the people in your life with a smile, with a hug. However you do it, it doesn't have to be a big thing. You can just be kind and understanding and listen when people talk to you. Look in their eyes. Show that they have value to you. These are ways that we express our divinity and our love for God. So you will never be disappointed, beloveds, or frustrated if you look within and ask sincerely with your whole heart to know God. Ask God, how can I truly love? Teach me how to love. Teach me how to truly love with that Jesus love. And to discover lasting truth and joy. Help me, Father. Help me, Mother God. And that sweet and simple prayer will immediately be answered. So you come simple and open like a little child to enter the kingdom of heaven, which is within. And all you will ever need to know will simply come to you. It will rise from within you whenever it is needed and necessary for you to know. Everything, all truth, is within you now. It just simply surfaces in your awareness quite naturally at the appointed time. So in the meantime, until more is given, use what you have been given and live from the knowing that you already have, and make your life as positive, inspired, happy, useful, and serviceable as possible. Practice happiness and reminding yourself of your divine perfection. You know, practice like you would practice your musical scales until they are firmly established as a vibrational resonance within you. If you do this, your vibrational rate will be amazing, and your life will go from nightmare to a happy dream of spiritual awakening, and from that to the full realization that you are the way, the truth, and the life eternal. And let's go out chanting on I Heal. Deep breath. On I Heal. On I God willing, I will be with you next week when you've been listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command. Adonai.